Shalom, everyone. Baruch Hashem Adonai, we bless the name of the Lord. Well, I guess some of you might remember the things that we have been talking about in recent times when I've been speaking, sometimes at the Finnish language meeting and now here. So you must be familiar with my topic. Who are we speaking about? Oh, no, nobody remembers. Sometimes even I forget, you know. But anyway, we've been talking about Nehemiah. Who knows Nehemiah? Okay, I see those hands. God bless you. Well, so we're going back in time to about 500 before the Messiah. It's a long time ago. And you know, in those days, lots of interesting things happened. Especially we know a very important person named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a very interesting fellow. Remember, he was just a small boy when God appeared to him and said, you're going to be a prophet. And he said, no, I'm just a boy, you know, I can't do anything. And then later again, God appeared to Jeremiah and said, you know, you have to speak what I'm going to tell you. You must speak that. He said, no, I just want to be, you know, a regular guy. I want to get married, have a family. And God says, no, you're not going to get married. You're not going to have a family. You're going to be a prophet and you're going to have a hard time. So Jeremiah, remember, God spoke through Jeremiah and said, okay, Jerusalem, you are going to be destroyed. The Babylonians will come. And King Zedekiah and the other kings there said, no, that's treason, you know, put the guy in prison. Nothing bad is going to happen. But we know the Babylonians came, about 500-something. Everything was destroyed. The people were hauled off. Almost everyone were sent off to Babylon. Babylon, not a nice place, somewhere like Iraq these days in that particular area of the world. And then there were also revolutions and governments changed, and eventually the Persians took over. Yes, that's right. A king named Artaxerxes was the big boss in those days in Persia. And apparently he was not a very nice man, but, you know, that's politics these days. Maybe still the same, right? So that's a bit of a recap. So there in Persia, we have some interesting fellows. You know, we had Daniel there, and then we had Nehemiah, and we had Ezra. Now, in the Bible, we can read about Ezra and Nehemiah. The two books are together. Ezra was a priest, and he also returned to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, he was a politician. He was probably the second person in charge of the Persian Empire. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, second. He was also the guy in charge of the food and the wine for the king. So he was right there in front of the king all the time, and he was a very important man. And so he did read Jeremiah's prophecy that in 70 years there would be a return back to Jerusalem. And so he told the king that he wants to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so the king sent him off with letters of recommendation and even an army to guard him. So Nehemiah was an important man. And so he did start rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And we've gone through chapters 1 and 2. In chapter number 3, there's a big list of persons, names, positions, and what they done. Isn't that interesting that in the Bible we have these big lists of names and functions and family records and everything? I am thinking that perhaps God does keep accurate records of everything. So even us today, perhaps, you know, in heaven, it does say in the Bible that there are books in heaven and the books are open and our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's possible that even the smallest details of our lives are recorded. It's something for us, I think, to keep in mind. So even the small good things that we do in life, we think nobody pays attention. You know, we set up the coffee in the lobby and we take care of this and that, and we come from far away distances, and maybe nobody really notices, but I am sure that God notices and keeps a record of these things. So as you go through chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you can see this long record of all kinds of interesting things. So we're going to go to chapter number 4. Numero 4, Español. I have to practice my Spanish, you know. Okay, so let's see what we find in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding a wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. So again, we have this man, Sanballat. Kind of an interesting name there, Sanballat. When he once again heard that the rebuilding of the wall was happening really well, he became very angry and even incensed. Isn't like incense kind of like smoke, you know? Maybe there had smoke rising from his ears and from his nose, you know, like he was like super mad. You know, I've seen sometimes people get incensed, you know. Anyone who works with the public probably has had these situations where someone becomes incensed. Even Sister Lydia probably at Starbucks every so often. Someone gets not the right kind of coffee, they become incensed. And, you know, I used to work in the airline business before I retired, and I've seen all kinds of strange situations. I remember one time there was this business-suited guy. He came and there was some problem, and he got so incensed that he took his wallet from his pocket and he smashed it to the ground, and he was jumping with both legs up and down like a little child, and all the coins started rolling out from his wallet, and all his little kids were so excited, they were chasing the coins, you know. Yeah, so that man was incensed like Sanballat. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates, so he had some friends with him, and the army of Samaria, so there were some army guys there as well. He said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are?" So he's really mocking them, you know, like he's mocking them and questioning them. Maybe sometimes in our lives, you know, we go through these times in life where we feel like some people are mocking us and questioning us. Are you sure, you know, you are doing the right thing? So if that happens to us, then, you know, it has happened before and it will happen again. Will they restore the wall? Yes, the wall is coming up quick. Will they finish in a day? Now that's an interesting statement from the Bible. Will they finish in a day? Isn't there another place in the Bible that talks about something that in one day something happened? Like 1948, Israel became a nation again in just one day. In one day, God created many things. So in one day, many things can happen. Can the stones become alive again? Remember Ezekiel in the vision? In Ezekiel chapter 37, God asked the prophet Ezekiel, "Can these bones come to life in one day?" Yes. For God, in one day, anything is possible. Okay, verse number 3. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side. So here's Tobiah as well with Sanballat. So, you know, the two guys are hanging out together. "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones." It appears that this man, Tobiah, he liked foxes. he was like, maybe his favorite animal, you know, like the fox is so cool, you know. And maybe he even had a fox farm. And he, you know, so he was going to release his foxes to the walls. And, oh yeah, my foxes are so strong that even the wall is going to come down. Well, what does Nehemiah do when all this happens? Verse number 5. His first response is to come to God in prayer. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. You know, I think that's very good advice. When we come into situations where there are difficulties and people are against us and circumstances are against us, perhaps the best and the first thing we should do is come to God in prayer. Hear me, O God. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Then he continues, turn their insults back on their own heads. Now, isn't that an interesting statement? Turn their insults back on their own heads. Didn't Jesus say that you should turn the other cheek and, you know, you should forgive those who curse you and those who misuse you and bless those who curse you? Yeah, this is almost like a contradiction. I wonder if we are fully understanding these things. I certainly don't understand, but it's possible that perhaps collectively we have the right to defend and to somehow come against evil things. See, individually, of course, we should forgive and we should bless, but there may be circumstances where we must somehow collectively be against certain things, evils that are coming against us. We might have to rebuke those things. I think this requires wisdom and understanding and knowledge of knowing what is the right response in circumstances. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. So he's saying, like, we have been captive, now let these people also become captive. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. That's really a powerful statement. Do not cover up their guilt. You know, when we pray to God, Lord, cover us by your precious blood, Lord Jesus. Blot out our sin. For they have thrown insults at the face of the builders. Again, I think here we can see that there is this collective group, the builders. It's not like Nehemiah individually saying, you know, they are insulting me as a person, but they are insulting us together as the people of God, as the rebuilders of Jerusalem. I think, for example, I am thinking, you know, in recent days, this Yahya Sinwar, who was the top dog of Hamas, he was killed. And so some people were saying, this is not right, you know, you should not take revenge against an individual person. Of course, it would be nice if the police went and arrested him and he was taken to court and innocent until proven guilty and there would be a big law case and there would be jury and everything investigating. But, you know, that's just not possible. So sometimes the government has to take revenge. Even Golda Meir, you might remember, in 1972 in the Olympics, when the bad guys came and they killed all the Israeli athletes, Golda Meir said, we are going to take revenge and we're going to kill them all. And that's what happened. Almost all of them were killed in the next few years. Do not cover their guilt, for they have thrown insults at the face of the builders. Very interesting. Verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. The people worked with all of their heart. That's really wonderful. You know, we should always, when we start some work, we should work with all of our heart. So they got halfway. That's, you know, like people say, optimist, pessimist, the glass, is it half full or half empty? So maybe they had the same idea. Hey, we got halfway now, you know, that's looking good. And someone said, oh no, that's not good. It's only halfway. So, yeah, interesting to think about that. Then something happens. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. So again, opposition rises up. Seems like there is this cycle, you know. There are good times and bad times. Maybe even in our lives, there are these seasons. We go through these seasons when everything goes really good, and then we go through these times when everything seems to go against us. So this must be part of human life, and also whenever we are involved in some great project, there will be opposition. There will be good times and there will be bad times. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. So they conspired. Isn't that a modern word these days? There's conspiracy. There's a conspiracy everywhere, you know. So this sounds like a real conspiracy. They conspired, they came together to stir up trouble. Verse number 9, what is again the response? But we prayed to our God. We prayed to our God. So that's first thing. Something else happened. And posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Posted a guard. Shouldn't we trust God, you know, and not worry about guarding and protecting? Doesn't God protect us? Yeah, of course God does protect us. But even here, we have a person at the door. Brother Larry is there this morning. He's like keeping an eye out in case something happens. You know, even we lock the doors in our car, in our house. You know, we have the police. Yeah, so we do pray, but we also do post guards. That's something important for us to remember, even today. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. It sounds like now discouragement sets in. I think even in our lives, sometimes when we are halfway in a great project, even in our assembly sometimes, maybe discouragement will set in and we think, you know, we're just halfway, there's so much work to do, we don't see any great results, let's not continue, let's give up. We are giving out, we are tired. Also, and it continues, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to this work. This is a very serious threat that these bad guys, they would even come inside and they would even kill. So this was a very serious situation that they were facing. Verse 12. Then the Jews who were living near them came and told us 10 times over. Wherever you turn, they will attack us. So many reports were coming in. Look, we really have a problem. The enemies are going to attack us. We are in big trouble. There is going to be blood on the ground. What are we going to do? Verse 13. Therefore, you know, like we just previously read, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. So the security was increased. I think that's a very wise thing to do. You need to increase the security in a dangerous situation like this. And he posted like families together. You know, it's in our nature to defend our family first. You know, if we see some stranger out there and they're in some trouble, we might turn our eyes away from that. But certainly, if anyone attacks our family, especially the children, you know, it's automatic, especially for a mother. It's instinctive to defend. Like even animals, the mother chicken or the mother cat will defend instinctively without any hesitation. I remember when we lived in southern Alberta some time ago, I talked to this fellow who had a sheep farm. He had lots of sheep. And the problem is when you have sheep, you get wild animals that will try to come and snatch them and eat them, especially wolves and coyotes and foxes. So he said that the best thing to do is to have a donkey on your farm. He said a donkey is fearless. The donkey will defend the sheep to the death. Yeah, he said the donkey will even die for the sheep. It's amazing. So, you know, we think a donkey is just kind of like dumb and stupid, but they are really brave animals. And some donkeys even speak. I'm sure that you've heard about the speaking donkey from the Bible. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." I think the Bible often has this statement in many places. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, said the prophet Isaiah. Do not fear, for I am with you. Prayer continues. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And then he exhorts them, the people. Fight for your families, for your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Fight. You know, I'm sure we've all seen the some time ago when President Trump, the bullet just hit his ear, and when he got up, he said, "Fight, fight, fight." So here also, Nehemiah is telling us to fight. That's kind of interesting. Sometimes we think maybe it's not good, you know, we should be pacifist. And I suppose there are some denominations that practice pacifism, where they will not defend themselves under any circumstances. So again, I think wisdom is required in knowing when is the right time not to defend and when is the time to fight. Maybe we have wisdom to know when the right time comes, that we will know what to do. We all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shield, bows, and armor. So it looks like a 50-50 division. 50% were working on the wall, and 50% became the army or the police. They had their machine guns and their Glock 9mm and other weapons, like Pastor Yarno probably has lots of weapons. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Someone might be watching. Someone might be watching. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other hand. So it's kind of like they were sort of kind of hard to work maybe sometimes if you need to carry a big machine gun in one hand and the hammer in the other hand. You know. Challenges are part of life. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. So they had a person also with a trumpet or a shofar, you know, the ram's horn. So when Nehemiah was patrolling around and he saw trouble coming, he would tell the man who gave the sound, sound the warning. And when the sound was given, then the people rallied around to defend and to help together, to work together. It's good for us to work together. You know, sometimes, I'll try to say this very carefully, sometimes in church, you know, it's the few that do everything. Okay, I've said it now, I won't rebuke anyone, but just, you know, think about it. If you would like to volunteer for some function, that's wonderful. You can please talk to Pastor Jarno, you know, you can help out in the little things that we do here. Verse 20, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. You know, ultimately, it is God who will give us victory. And we don't know how things will turn out, but even like Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. So I think Job, he was a man of faith. And sometimes I think that if I really had faith, everything would be great. But sometimes I think having faith means to accept situations the way they are. So Job, we know he went through a lot of trouble. And in faith he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. So I'm hoping that likewise, even for us today, whatever our circumstances might be this morning, as we are working, we are rebuilding, we are facing enemies, we are facing troubles, we are having good days and we're having bad days, we could say from the bottom of our hearts, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. So brothers and sisters, our time is up. So I will conclude my message here. Let us pray.